WNYC Studios is supported by Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
After 8 years of delay, those allegedly responsible for the attacks of September the 11th will finally face justice. They will be brought to New York, to answer for their alleged crimes in a courthouse just blocks away from where the Twin Towers once stood.
But will New York be safe, Mr. Attorney General? Is this really necessary? And can they get a fair trial here?
I am confident in the ability of our courts to provide these defendants a fair trial, just as they have for over 200 years. The alleged 9/11 conspirators will stand trial in our justice system before an impartial jury under long-established rules and procedures.
So, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder speaking on Friday. Now to some of the legal questions surrounding the decision to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four other alleged 9/11 conspirators in civilian court in Lower Manhattan. With me is Karen Greenberg from the NYU Law School, where she is Executive Director of the Center on Law and Security. Professor Greenberg, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And listeners, our phones are open on this question at 212-433-WNYC for anyone now. We'll expand it out from just people who lost loved ones on 9/11 to anyone on the question of this trial being planned to take place in this way and at this location. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Karen, the essential question first. If these men are part of a loose-knit, non-state army that has declared war on the United States and still considers itself at war with the United States, why not a military tribunal?
Well, I can think of many reasons, but let me focus on two. First of all, we have tried al-Qaeda and al-Qaeda-related individuals for attacks like the World Trade Center attack in the past. We've tried them here in the Southern District of New York, where these men will, it seems, be tried. The first case that is the first World Trade Center bombing case, in which we tried the perpetrators and convicted them to life sentences, and they're at the Supermax in Colorado now. The second is the embassy bombings trial with the same result. The second thing is that the military tribunals, the military commissions have not fared very well so far. You could make the case that some of the people that have been returned home, including Osama bin Laden's driver, Hamdan, would be in federal prison for life if they'd been tried here. So, those are just two reasons I can think of to begin with.
You mentioned the previous examples of the 1993 World Trade Center bombers and the Cole and the embassy bombing attackers. One of the objections that I've heard is to the possibility that classified information could get out to terrorists through the civilian courts in a way that wouldn't happen in a military setting. And I saw former Governor George Pataki on Friday on CNN say that, in his opinion, one reason that we may have been successfully attacked on 9/11 is precisely that information from those past civilian trials of terrorists got out. Have you heard that argument, and do you think there's absolutely nothing to it?
Did he give any examples? Of course, I've heard the argument, but did he have any examples at all of what he thought the information was?
I can't cite one from memory. I feel like he probably did, but this is known to be a critique anyway.
Right. Look, we have to deal with this somewhat rationally on the understanding that the legal teams on both sides are not going to want to have in the public domain much classified evidence. My guess is that if Attorney General Holder says that he thinks he can get convictions for these five individuals, that it's with evidence that will be able to be introduced that is neither hearsay and that is not some kind of weakness on the part that will weaken our national defense. I have a feeling that there is a lot of evidence about the 9/11 case and also about other cases that these men are involved with. For example, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's already indicted in U.S. courts for the Bajinka plot, the plot to blow up airlines over the Pacific Ocean. So I think they feel confident that they have a lot of evidence. The trial will play itself out. They should get a good defense team. And we'll see what happens. But I'm not that concerned. I mean, there's a piece also here about educating the public about who our enemies are and who they are not. And I think a lot came out in the first trial about Al-Qaeda, about its network, about its structure, about what we could expect from them. That was very important to educating Congress and to educating the American public. And I think this case could do the same. The American public still doesn't know a lot about 9/11, about what happened. And this case will tell us. So that's another thing about
the Wall Street Journal editorial on Saturday, which opposes this decision, used the historical example of German soldiers sneaking into the United States during World War II and getting a military trial after they got caught. Why isn't that the closest historical analogy?
Because I think these are not just any soldiers that have snuck onto American soil. These are, you know, in the category of high-value detainees. These are people who are known enemies of the United States, who have already attacked us. They themselves, not representing, you know, not just as symbols of something else.
But is that to say that an ordinary German soldier who sneaks into the U.S. gets a military tribunal? If Hitler or Eichmann had snuck in, they would have been put in civilian court?
No, I think that one of the problems with military tribunals now is how mired they've been by the past however many 8 years since the beginning of Guantanamo. They haven't served us well in prosecuting terrorists, and it still remains to be seen whether or not we can get our act together, the United States, in terms of using them to try terrorists. It so far has not worked. And so they have to come up with a system, a legitimate system that's accepted, that can actually convict these terrorists.
You think the civilian court is actually more likely to convict Khalid Sheikh Mohammed than the military tribunal?
I do, and I think one of the things, here's a way to understand this, to contextualize it. The day that Obama picked for Holder to make the announcement was November 13th. November 13th, 2001, was the day that arguably started this entire judicial process, because it transferred or stated that the detention effort and the trials for that detention effort in the war on terror around the globe would be within the Department of Defense rather than in the Department of Justice. And it was a major reorientation of who holds responsibility for terrorism, those alleged of terrorist crimes. So by picking November 13th, 8 years later, he was not so subtly trying to tell us that Department of Justice has to have a say, that the courts need to be re-empowered with a responsibility that was taken away from them and that we've historically used, as we said, in the First World Trade Center, in the embassy bombings, and a number of other cases.
Your group at NYU Law School, your center, is called the Center on Law and Security.
Correct.
What about the security questions? You know, the first thing that came up for some of the callers in the first segment and for so many people is that terrorists will ramp up an attempt to attack New York at the time that KSM is on trial here, whether he's directing them or not, you know, in support of him or to make a statement, whether it's organized from the top of Al-Qaeda in some way or whether it's some loose-knit free actors, but that there is a tangible security risk to New York to be hit again by bringing this trial to feet from 9/11's epicenter.
You know, I really wonder about that. I'm sure you recall Mayor Bloomberg saying perhaps on more than one occasion that, you know, if you pick up a alleged terrorist anywhere in the country, they're going to have a map of New York City in their pocket, that New York has always been a target of al-Qaeda for decades now. It's going to remain that way. So the idea that it would get ramped up is not understanding what the threat level is and has been. I think our police force, as I think your last caller said, has been incredibly vigilant and responsible. I think the federal government recognizes, again, this is a case of restoring confidence. We talked earlier about restoring confidence to our courts. Let's talk about restoring confidence to our intelligence service and our law enforcement officers. They can do this, and our prison guard, not to mention our prison authorities.
But to say there's no additional risk because they're always out to get us, I mean, look at the Fort Hood shooting, presumably by one individual acting alone, and yet there was an impending moment of truth, which is that he was about to be deployed with others at the fort to Afghanistan, and that cycled him up, apparently, and put him over the edge when he was, you know, trending in that direction anyway. If Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the other four defendants are here, you don't think that triggers the possibility of, again, individuals not necessarily acting on behalf of anybody in an official capacity, but loose-knit groups? We know they found groups now, mm-hmm. right? We know this thing that was revealed fairly recently and so forth, that they wouldn't use it as a symbolic moment or be a little bit more likely to?
I think they're going to try. I think you're right about that, that maybe it's a little more or even a lot more. I still think that we have to be able to handle it. And whether it's because of this trial or because of something else that comes along or, you know, some international meeting that's held here at some point about terrorism, I think we have to be up to the challenge, and I think we are. And in that way, you know, when you ask your callers, well, will you feel better if they are tried here and the trial goes well and then they're convicted and perhaps executed, I think the other side of the question is, will you feel good that we're able to do this rationally, that we were able to do this in a way that seemed targeted against these individuals and not against a wider amorphous Muslim community, that we did this in a way that they got a good defense and were convicted and that we were safe during it. Think of the benefit of that if that happens.
The government legally take the potential for an attack into account when deciding on what kind of trial? Because Attorney General Holder seemed to say there are different venues where we could try mm-hmm. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and these other defendants. He seemed to say we could do it in a military tribunal or we could do it in civilian court in Lower Manhattan, and this is a matter of choice. Was that your understanding?
Yeah, it is a matter of choice. I mean, we could have done it in the Eastern District of Virginia. There are a number of places that we could have done it, and there are a number of courts that have tried terrorism trials. But they chose to do it here. Again, this is an administration that values symbolism. And I do think they want to look strong, and this is a very strong decision.
In fact, let me play that clip. This is about a minute of Attorney General Holder, and you'll hear how he frames it to some degree as a matter of choice and as a matter of robustly using multiple venues to fight the legal war against terrorists.
In each case, my decision as to whether to proceed in federal courts or military commissions was based on a protocol that the Departments of Justice and Defense developed and that was announced publicly in July. Because many cases could be prosecuted in either federal courts or military commissions, that protocol sets forth a number of factors, including the nature of the offense, the location in which the offense occurred, the identity of the victims, and the manner in which the case was investigated. All of these things must be considered. In consultation, again, with the Secretary of Defense, I've looked at all of the relevant factors and made case-by-case decisions for each detainee. It is important that we be able to use every forum possible to hold terrorists accountable for their actions. Just as a sustained campaign against terrorism requires a combination of intelligence, law enforcement, and military operations, so must our legal efforts to bring terrorists to justice involve both federal courts and reformed military commissions.
So about an additional minute of Eric Holder's statement, one that isn't being played and played and played on cable television, but that gets to the heart of some of his thinking from his announcement on Friday, as we continue with Karen Greenberg, director of the Center on Law and Security at the NYU Law School and author of the book The Least Worst Place, Guantanamo's First 100 Days. Anything else you want to say about what he said there before we take some calls?
No, I think he's obviously not talking about just these 10 cases, the five that are being referred to New York and the five that will be military tribunals or commission cases, because we think there are going to be more to come, not quite high-value detainees of this nature, but there are going to be more. And so he's setting out the groundwork, and I think he did it responsibly.
Mark in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mark. Mark, are you there? All right, let's try Douglas in Linden. Douglas, you're on WNYC. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I see two issues here. One is these attacks of 9/11 were perpetrated in New York and at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. Number one, does it lessen the impact of those people who lost folks at the Pentagon when you have trials in New York only? I view this as a national issue, and I think it should be military tribunal because of that, because there are multiple levels of attack at different places. And number two, we know that New York City is under severe fiscal constraints at this point in time. So my question is the federal government footing the bill for the extra security? I mean, how is that going to be paid for?
On that question, and Douglas, thank you for your call, Professor Greenberg, I don't know if this is in your expertise, but we did ask the NYPD deputy commissioner earlier who would pay for this, and he said expenses for something like this would be reimbursed by the federal government. Do you know that to be the case?
That's my understanding, but I've probably asked the same people you've asked, and I think that's the expectation. On the first part of what he said, of what the caller said, I think... Again, I think there are going to be more cases and more trials, and I think it will be spread around somewhat. But notice that at one point in his speech the other day, Attorney General Holder said, I thought, that the Eastern District of Virginia would be working with the Southern District on this case. So it's not going to be just solely in the purview of the Southern District, but there would be some kind of collaborative effort. That's what he said, and I think it spoke to the question of your caller.
Let's see if we can get Mark on the Lower East Side back on the line. Mark, you're on the air now.
I'm here. Can
yes.
you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. I was just looking at the 1994 New York Times March 5th edition, and concerning the conviction of Omar Rachman, the blind cleric, and the nine others who were convicted, and just looking at the various reactions in that article, and I thought it was interesting. Who said this? That. The verdict demonstrates that New Yorkers won't meet violence with violence, but with a far greater weapon, the law. And the message coming out of this terrible episode is clear. New York will never surrender to terrorism. Who said that?
I know who
Rudolph
said that.
Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah.
And right. Now, when you've got this situation that is obviously one that's become politicized, that this has nothing to do with the law, that this argument comes down to whether we torture or we don't torture, whether we try people in courts or we don't. And we can only call ourselves, or claim for ourselves, American exceptionalism if we do not do these things.
So here's what I saw Giuliani say on television yesterday, because that question was put to him. And Mark, thank you for raising it. Karen, maybe you saw this too. He said, yes, I said that in 1994, and I was wrong, because that helped contribute to the terrorists being able to rally their strength again and come back around. You know, it's not that it's to say it's the same people who attacked in 1993 and on September 11th, 2001, but that by treating it as a crime rather than an act of war, it emboldened them to do it again. And he said specifically that trying them in civilian courts is going back to a pre-9/11 mentality when terrorism was treated as a crime and not an act of war, and that that would embolden them to attack again because it doesn't go after them hard enough. You saw that, right?
Mm-hmm. This is very complicated, and it's probably worth a whole show to talk about the crime war distinction and how it's played itself out. But there are two things. I mean, trying to see this from the perspective of years hence rather than right now. I mean, Rudy Giuliani, as mayor of New York, when 9/11 happened, must, you know, feel that he bears some responsibility, and his reaction seems to suggest that. To try these people in regular courts, you notice these are not national security courts, and to say that, yes, this may happen in a war context, but these were, you know, civilian targets on our home soil, is from my point of view, the most rational way to do this. It doesn't mean we're not also fighting, you know, out there against terrorists on in various battlefields. But I think that it's really hard to have so many of us who were affected by 9/11, particularly Mayor Giuliani, who did so well at the time, have to deal with it in the aftermath. And I think he doesn't have enough distance from the event. I want to say something about New Yorkers, because it's kind of underlying a lot of the rhetoric right now. I don't know if you remember, but shortly after 9/11, they tried to institute the backpack policy of searching backpacks on the subways.
Right.
Now, you can understand why. I mean, we wanted to be as safe as we could, but New Yorkers reacted to that very strongly. They didn't want their backpacks searched. When it came to their civil liberties versus their fear factor, they wanted their civil liberties. I also want to say that the embassy bombings trial was the decision came down before 9/11, but the sentencing, the conviction was before 9/11, but the sentencing was after 9/11. And the sentencing was not to use the death penalty. So it shows a kind of restraint and a kind of respect for the magnitude of what has happened, and a willingness to use the law and to respect the law rather than revenge. And I think that's one of the reasons this is such a good trial to bring here.
And we're over time, but that's to say that you don't think that the rule of law would also be upheld by using the military commissions, not the way the Bush administration originally formulated them, which was thrown out by the Supreme Court and which even military judges rebelled against, but the new formulation under the Military Commissions Act, which many people see as more legitimate. Would that not be rule of law in court and make the same statement to the world?
It wouldn't make the same statement, but it would be rule of law. It would make the statement that we don't trust our federal courts to be able to try these kinds of cases. We're going to have lesser cases, but in this same area of terrorism going forward, we've had 800 cases all round on all different kinds of charges that have some association with terrorism since 9/11. We know how to do this, and part of this is about rebuilding the confidence in our legal domestic system.
Karen Greenberg, Executive Director of the Center on Law and Security at the NYU Law School and author of The Least Worst Place, Guantanamo's First 100 Days. We didn't even get to talk about the Guantanamo angles of this, which we'll have to do on another occasion. But Karen Greenberg, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
And still a lot to say about this case. We'll continue on some of the political ramifications in a minute when we talk to Todd Zwillick, the Takeaways Washington correspondent. Stay with us.